All right, so we'll say good morning. Today's daf is Lamed Hey. We are picking up 35. We are picking up on the first word. First word on Lamed Hey, actually, it's the last word on Lamed Dalet Amud Beis Ve'im. And we dedicate our learning this morning as Zuchus for Refuah Shleima for Gittel Bas Freida. And we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, she shall have a complete and enduring Refuah. So says the Gemara, Ve'im Isa. So also remember again, we spent a lot of time yesterday developing the Shita of Rav Huna. Just to repeat it, Rav Huna was the one who said that even though the Mishnah said that in a case where the Shomer says, I don't have the object, but I don't want to swear, instead I'm going to pay. So the Mishnah said that he pays and there's no Shavua. Rav Huna said, that's true, there's no Shavua except for the Shavua that there is. And the Shavua that we administer upon him is a Shavua She'eno Birshuso. So he doesn't necessarily have to take the Shavua ultimately that he has not been Poshea, but he does have to go ahead and take a Shavua that Halacha L'maisa, that the object is not in his Rishus. So we'll say, so the Gemara quoted a whole Braisa, four different cases, two in the Reisha, two in the Sefer yesterday. So it says, the Gemara Vim Isa, L'Rav Huna, and if Rav Huna's statement is actually correct, Kevan the Mishtaba Milva She'eno Birshuso, Hechi Matzi Mapikli. So we'll say, remember again, going back to yesterday's Braisa, if indeed it's correct that the Malva is swearing that the object is not in his Rishus, then why would we be concerned ultimately that he's going to take it out? Amar Rava. Oh, okay. We'll say another dedication today, that today's daf is dedicated in loving memory of Yosef Ben Binyamin, whose yard site is today by the Keller, Siegel, and Miller families. The Shamish Dav and Aliyah, the families in Nechama. Shkoyach. So it says the Gemara. So if you're talking about a situation where again the Malva is going to make, if the Malva is taking an oath that the object in his Rishus, the object is not in his Rishus, and hechi mati mafikli, why would we be concerned that he would take it out? Well, the case that the Brice is dealing with is where there is Eidos, ultimately, again, that the object was destroyed. Ihachi, if that's the case. Mehechi maisila. So let's say if there's Eidos that the object was destroyed. So where exactly would somebody be pulling it out of? Of Amar Rav Yosef, Shiyesh Eidim Shenignava. There are witnesses that the object ultimately was stolen. So, sof, mehechem, I said. But again, I will say, if there's a concern that somebody's going to go ahead and make the object appear after the Shavua has been taken, if there's Eidos that the object has been stolen, so where would we be concerned that the object would come from? Ihachi ki mishtaba malva, excuse me, the Gemara says, sof, mehechem, I said, the tarach umaisila. I will say the case might be where the Malva ultimately, again, would go ahead and go out of his way to try to track it down. Ihochi ki mishtabe Malva nami litrach lova velaisi. Well, then maybe if the Malva takes the Shavua, maybe the Lova will exert the effort to try to track down the item. Bishlama Malva yoda man ka'ayel v'nafik bebeise v'ozil v'tarach u'maisila. So also here's the issue. When the mashkon is stolen, it's really only the Malva who's going to be able to track it down. Why is that? Because remember, again, the mashkon, the collateral is with the Malva, with the lender. The Malva knows who goes in and out of his house. Therefore, he has the ability to track down, ultimately, who's potentially stole the item. Elalova, mi yada man ayil v'nofik bebeisei de Malva. But ultimately, again, will the Lova know who goes in and out of the home of the Malva? And of course, the answer to that is no. Abaye says, gzeira shema yit'on v'yomar la achar shvua mitzasiha. Abaye says there's another reason for this gzeira. The reason for the gzeira is, out of concern, shema yit'on, because he may claim v'yomar lo and say to him, after the shvua has already been taken, mitzasiha, oh, I found it, I found the mashkin. Ravashi Amar, Zenishba, the Zenishba. So Ravashi is in reality both the Malva and the Lova. But again, all of this is referring to the cases of the Braisa on Lama Dalar on Beis, right? Yesterday's daf. So Ravashi says in reality, both the Malva and the Lova both take Shavuos. What are they both taking Shavuos on? Zenishba. Zenishba She'eno Birshuso. So we'll say, so the Malva takes a Shavua, that's what? That the Mashkon is not in his Rishus, that he does not have possession of the object. The Zenishba, the Lova swears, Kama Haya Shava. ultimately, again, how much it was worth. Suppose I say each of them need to take a different shavuah. V'hachi kamer, this is what it means to say, mi nishpatrila. So the real shes, and I will say, according to Rav Ashi, both the malva and the lower are both taking shavuahs. The malva is taking a shavuah that the object is not in his rishos. The lover is taking a shavuah about how much the object was worth. Because remember, again, going back to yesterday's gemaras, those brises. So remember, the shavuah was generated by which cases? By where there's a difference of opinion, where there's a mode of a mixas in the value of the shavuah. Meaning in all of the cases, there is a difference of opinion as to how much the mashkon was worth. But in the mode of the case, the local mode of mixas, those cases generate the shavuah. So both are going to take a shavuah. Malva is going to take a shavuah, I don't have the object. Lover is going to take a shavuah, how much the mashkon was worth. And what's the shayla? The shayla is v'achi kamar mi nishbatrila. The shayla is who swears first? Malvin nishbatrila shema yishbazeh v'yotzi alas apikadon. To which the Gemara answers, we have the malva swear first, because what are we concerned about? We're concerned that if the lova goes ahead and swears first, that the malva may go ahead and afterwards go ahead and take out the object and thereby disqualify the lova. Rav Huna Bar Tachlifa Mishmei Derava Amar. So I will say, Rav Huna Bar Tachlifa said in the name of Rava, Reisha Deseva Tiyuftila Rav Huna. So I will say, Rav Huna Bar Tachlifa said in the name of Rava, that the Reisha of the Seifa, which means I will say, the first of the second two cases, is in fact a refutation of Rav Huna. How so? What's the case? Sela Hilvi Sani Alav Shtayim Haya Shava. So we'll say, this is the case, remember, of where the lova, the borrower, makes the following claim. Lender, you lent me a sela, you lent me one sela, but the mashkon I gave you was worth two. You now lost the mashkon. Not only do I not owe you the halva, but what? You owe me one sela for the additional value of the mashkon. V'halo omer, on the other hand, the malva says, lo, ki ela sela hil v'sicha alav, sela hayashava, not true. Rather, I lent you a sela, that I will agree with you about, but the mashkon you gave me was only worth a sela. So now that I lost the mashkon, we're even. So what's the halacha? Pater. So we'll say, in that case again, there is no obligation for shavuah. Vim I sela di Rav Huna, but Rav Huna, if you are really correct, if you are really right, migo de mishtabe malva she'eno birshuso, since the malva has to take an oath, according to Rav Huna, that the object is not in his rishus, lishtabe nami al gilgul shavuah, kama hayashava. We'll say, now this is amazing. Remember we spoke about gilgul shavuah before? Gilgul shavuah essentially means like this. There are certain circumstances that because of a lack of, we could call it evidence, or just because of a lack of, because of not meeting certain criteria, you can't generate an obligation for shavuah. What Gilgul shavuah says is, once you are already swearing, we could kind of pile onto that shavuah a whole bunch of other stuff that by itself would not generate an obligation for shavuah. So watch this. So in this case over here, so remember, in this case, where the lova is claiming that you lent me a sela, and the mashkon was worth two, right? And the malva is saying, I lent you a sela, the mashkon was only worth one sela. There's no quote-unquote mode of a mixas in that case. Because there's no mode of a mixas, therefore there's no obligation of shavuah. But, according to Rav Huna, there would be an obligation of shavuah for the malva to do what? For the malva to swear that the object is not in his rishus. Because you also remember again, Rav Huna's shita on Lamdalam Beis was in our Mishnah. Any time that you had an object in your rishus, so you have to swear you don't have it. You have to swear you don't have it. Now again, you might not have to swear about the circumstances as to why you don't have it, but you have to swear that you don't have it. So watch this. So says the Gemara, Rav Huna, if the malva has to go ahead and take a shavuah, that what? That he doesn't have the object in his rishus. Once he's taking that shavuah, let's say that Gilgul shavuah generates another shavuah that says what? Let him also swear about what? How much the mashkon was worth. Meaning, you're right, by itself we could not administer a shavuah upon him about how much the mashkon is worth. But once he already has to swear that the mashkon is not in his rishus, let him take an additional shavuah to say how much the mashkon was worth. To which the Gemara says, Amar Rav Ashi, so I said over this ruling in front of Rav Kahana, but Amr Rav Kahana said, Tehei b'ma'amino. It's a case ultimately again of where he believes him. Look at Rashi, Tehei b'ma'amino, Hadik Tani Potter, that which it says that there is Potter from a Shvua, Bema'amino Lova Lamalva She'ino Bershuso. Oh, Rabbi said the case of the Braisa is a case of where the Lova and Malva are disagreeing that what? About the value of the Mashkon. The Lova is saying it was worth 2 Sloim. The Malva is saying it was worth 1. But one thing that the Lova does believe the Malva about is that the object is not in his Rishos, that he doesn't have the Mashkon. So we'll say in the case where the Lova believes the Malva, that he doesn't have the Mashkon, then what? Everyone would agree that there's an obligation for Shavua. If there's an obligation, if he's not taking the Shavua, Shema Rishusi, then what? Then there's no way to say Gilgul Shavua as well. To which the Gemara says, V'nehemne Lova l'malva nami baha. Baha kama hava shava. So Rabbi says, so if that's the case, that the Lova is already believing the Malva, that the Malva doesn't have the object in his Rishos, why doesn't the Lova also believe the Malva in terms of how much the Mashkon was actually worth? To which the Gemara says, Lokim le bigave. Because Rabbi says, we assume that the Malva, or I should say the Lova, look at Rashi, Lokim le bigave, Meimar amar Lova, Lokim lamava bigave demashkon tlo nasan adaito alav la das damav. So the Lova, so we'll say, as much as the Lova believes the Malva that the object is not in his Rishos, the Lova does not defer to the Malva with the value of the Mashkon, because the Lova says about the Malva, he doesn't know the Mashkon like I know it. Remember again, the Mashkon is the Lova's object. So you don't know my object as I know my object, and you're mistaken about the value. To which the Gemara says, "V'nehemne malva l'lova v'kimle begave." The Gemara says, "So ultimately, so why doesn't the malva believe the lova about the value of the mashkon? Since the lova ultimately again knows the value of his object, lo mehemen." Who else are talking about a case where ultimately again the malva doesn't believe the lova? Umayshna lova de mehemele l'malva. Umayshna malva lo mehemele lova. So we'll say the Gemara now says an interesting idea over here. So essentially, what we see is the following. The Gemara assumes that in this case, the Lova will believe the Malva that he doesn't have the Mashkon. He'll believe him. And therefore, Rabbi say, if the Lova believes the Malva that the lender does not have the collateral object in his possession, the Malva need not take a Shavua to that effect. But yet, what we're seeing over here is that the Malva doesn't believe the Lova as to the value of the Mashkon. To which the Gemara asks, so what is the nature of this distinction? So what I say, the Gemara says something absolutely amazing over here. The Gemara says, what is the distinction? Umayishna, so the Gemara says, listen to this. Love mekayim be bemilve, tumas yisharim tanchim, malve mekayim be belove, v'solif bogdim yishadim. So what I say is, quoting the pasuk from Mishlei. So literally translated, Tumas Yisharim Tanchein, ultimately the righteousness, right? Tumas Yisharim is like the completeness, the wholeness, the integrity of the upright will guide them. The Solif Bogdim Yashdei means, and the perversion of the transgressors shall destroy them. So what does this have to do with anything? They both say, this is actually a very dramatic idea. So look at Rashi over here. Rashi says, lov mekayim b'malva, mikra zeh tumas yisharim tanchin. Listen to this. Im lo she'adam ne'eman v'yashar, hu lo hayu ma'ashirin oso min ha'shamayim. This is a very dramatic statement. So the Rashi says over here, were it not that a person were upright, Chodesh Baruch Hu would not reward a person with wealth. So therefore, again, when the pasuk says "Tumas Yisharim Tanchim," the integrity of the upright shall guide them. It means that wealth is a bracha from the Ribon Shel Olam. Which I will say, one thing is clear, which is wealth is absolutely a bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there's no question that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives brachos to certain individuals for certain purposes. Therefore, a person ultimately, again, who has wealth, the Gemara says, that is a sign ultimately of bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and under certain circumstances could also point to a certain integrity about that individual, meaning the Ribon Shel Olam gives brachos to people who he feels he can handle them. Now, I want to be clear. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that every single person who has wealth also has integrity. Meaning, again, just because a person gets a bracha from a Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't mean they use it the right way. This is Maisim B'chol Yom, that people get plenty of brachos, doesn't mean we get it the right. But if a person ultimately is given wealth by a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that means clearly one thing, which is the Ribono Shel Olam feels that person could do great things with that bracha. So therefore, again, the Gemara says over here, the Malveh in this case is the wealthy one. Therefore, again, the assumption is that the Malveh has a greater level of integrity than the Loveh, because the Malveh ultimately is the one who has been blessed with wealth versus the Loveh who has not. Now, we'll say, the Ben Yehoyada is very bothered by this Gemara, because what is that saying? It's saying that a person with wealth has integrity, a person who has to borrow money doesn't have integrity. So, of course, that can't be. What it's talking about over here, Abosai, is situations where financial dealings end up in a shvua. You see, already to get to this point where financial dealings end up with shvua, something went wrong somewhere. In a situation like that, says the Gemara, so already if a person is in a borrowing money situation, and lemaisa again, they're having to take a shvua, there's something wrong in that situation. Again, obviously we're making very general statements that don't necessarily apply to every single case, but the Gemara is suggesting over here that in this circumstance, the Malveh has a certain level of integrity over the Loveh. Therefore, the Malveh has certain credibility. Again, that credibility doesn't really translate as much into a halachic sense, because there's still a shvur that's necessary to be taken, and the Loveh's integrity is lacking, because again, his claim ultimately is generating a shvua. Shvua between Jews is already something that we tend to frown upon, and therefore, again, the Malveh has a certain level of credibility that the Loveh does not. Okay, a very difficult Gemara to understand, but a fascinating idea nevertheless. Says the Gemara Vayter. Two dots. Hu Gavra. We'll see another interesting case. Hu Gavra. The Afkid Kipi Gabi Chavre. So we'll say there was an individual who deposited Kipi, literally earrings. Earrings. He went ahead and he deposited earrings by his friend. Rashi says Nizamim. Nizamim could be nose rings or regular earrings, either one. So he deposited earrings by his friend. So what happened? Amrele, Havli Kipi. So he comes back to get his objects. Give me back my nose ring. Give me back my earrings. Amrele, Lo Yidana Hecha. So both sides, the Shomer says, I don't know where it is. I don't know where it is. So the Gemara says, Hechi Osvinu. I'm sorry, Lo Yidana Hecha Osvinu. I don't know where I put them. Can't find the earrings. We'll say second wide line, Lamed Heyam and Aleph. Asalek made Rav Nachman. So we'll say, so they come up for Rav Nachman. Amar Lei, Kol Lo Yadana Pshusi. So listen, we'll say, if a Shomer says, I don't know what I did with the object, that's Pshia, that's negligence. So Zil Shalim. So he says to the Shomer, listen, you got to go pay back the owner of the object. So Lo Shalim. Thank you. So we'll say, so the Shomer didn't pay. Azor Rav Nachman Agbe La Apadne Mine. So we'll say, so what happens? Rav Nachman went ahead and seized Apadne is a mansion. So Lav Dafka mansion. He seized his home. He seized his land. He seized the assets of the Shomer in order to pay for the lost object. Lusof Ishtachach Kipi. We'll say at the end, what happened? The Shomer found the earrings. The acre. Now, interestingly enough, they appreciated in value. Now, both saying that that by itself is not really important to the story, but it happens they went up in value. Amar Rav Nachman said, Hadri kipi lemarayu, the hadra apadna lemaro. So both say, so he told the Shomer, give the earrings back to the owner of the earrings, and he told the owner of the earrings to what? Give the home back, the mansion back to the Shomer. So we'll say, so says the Gemara, Amarava, Havayasi. So we'll say, so remember, there's a novelty on two levels over here. So remember, if you are the Shomer, what are you tining right now? Right? I'm sorry? I paid for it, right? I want to keep the earrings, especially given the fact that the earrings appreciated in value, right? We already settled this transaction, and so Lamaisa, again, I just like to keep the earrings. So first of all, he doesn't keep the earrings, they go back. I will say number two, even though, again, assets were seized, in satisfaction of the debt, and assets were transferred to the owner of the earrings, we're now reversing the transaction and taking the land, the house, back from the Bala earrings and giving it back to the Shomer. To which the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Havaya Sivna Kamed Rav Nachman. I was sitting in front of Rav Nachman, Upirkin HaMafkid Hava, And we were learning the parak of Hamafkid. That's just what I was saying. So right, Rav, I was sitting in front of Rav Nachman. We were learning this parak of Hamafkid. Va'amri lei shileim velo ratza lishava. And I brought up the question to him about what about Tamar Mishnah that says that if the Shomer wants to pay, and doesn't want to swear, we let him pay. And it seems to be that what, look at Rashi, V'amri le shilim v'lo ratz l'shava katani mas nisin, dikani kfela, v'haynami shilim v'likni revacha diyakar. Now, what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said that if I'm the Shomer, and the object goes missing, I choose not to swear. I don't want to take a shavua. Instead, what am I going to do? I'm going to pay. They both say, what does that entitle me to? That entitles me to the kefil. So comes along Rava and says, I don't understand. I'm learning, right? Rava says, I don't understand. Why shouldn't this be the same thing as the case of kefil? We'll say, what is kefil? Kefil essentially is, should be the equivalent to appreciation of the item. So too over here in the case of the earrings, so the shomer should be able to keep, he gave his house away, he should be able to keep the earrings and the appreciation as well. V'lo ahadrili, Rav Nachman didn't answer me. V'shapir avid lo ahadrili, Rabbi says, I realized afterwards that Rav Nachman did the right thing by not answering me. Why? My taima, hasam lo acheche lebedina. So we'll say the difference over there in the Mishnah was what? That the shomer never took the owner of the object to Beis. In other words, he wasn't matriachim. He didn't trouble him to go to Beis Din. Hacha atrichei lebeidina. I will say here, there was a whole protracted legal process that ultimately caught, that the shomer caused the owner of the object to go to Beis Din. So I will say, remember again, going back to that previous sugya, part of the logic with kefil is that the owner of the object says, listen, if you are not going to protract this process, if you, Shomer, are not going to protract this process, and you're just going to take responsibility and pay for the object, in recognition of the fact that you are making this, the closure of this process easy for me, I convey to you potential future rights for the kefil. In this case, I will say over here, where Lemaisa, again, this became a Beis Din process, right? Remember, again, the owner of the earrings had to go to Beis Din, had to have this whole, right, had to have the assets seized, this whole process. If I'm the owner of the earrings, I'm not giving you anything. So if you turn out that you found my earrings and the earrings appreciated, I want my earrings back and I'll give you your land back. Lememra. So we'll say, is this to say, the Savrav Nachman de Shuma Hadar? So we'll say, is this to say that according to Rav Nachman, I will say, a Shuma. We'll say, now Shuma, Rashi says, Shuma Hadar, Nichse Love Sheshamu Bezdin Lebalchov. That I will say, if you have the property of a Lova of a borrower that Bezdin assessed and gave to the creditor, Chosrin Elav im nosin maos lebalchov. Kiachad the hadr apadna lemara. So we'll say, are we saying the Savrav Nachman, the Shuma Hadar? And we'll say, this is a very dramatic statement. Is this saying that in a situation where someone owes me money, let's say they don't have the money, so I seize, so Bezin gives me their land, then what happens? The debtor finds money. He comes to me with cash that I have to give him back his land. Is that what we're saying there? That doesn't mean Shuma Chadar. Shuma Chadar means that if I seize assets and then ultimately the debtor finds money, that he's able to redeem his assets by giving me cash, to which the Gemara says, Shiny Hasam to Shuma Bataz Hava. Well, say this case is different. You know why? Because in this case of the earrings, the conveyance of property was done by mistake. How so? The kahava kipi meikara. Because I will say, remember again, in this case, why was there a conveyance of property? Because I will say, everyone thought the earrings were lost. But in fact, what? In fact, what? They weren't. So I will say, because the earrings were there the whole time, that's what's called the shuma betos. It was a mistaken valuation, a mistaken transfer of property, and that's why it's reversible. But Armin Ardoi, the Rebbe said, the Ardoi said, Shuma Hadar Atresa Yarchishasa. The Rebbe said, a valuation is reversible up to 12 months, which Rebbe said is an interesting idea, which means that if I go and Rebbe said, you could apply this to any case. So any case where ultimately someone owed me money, they weren't able to pay money, so instead, Beis Din valued their property, gave me their land, according to the Nardoi, they said you have 12 months to redeem your land. So you have 12 months to come to the creditor, give him cash, and what he has to give you back the land. 12 months. After 12 months, it's done. So Gemara said, Amemar said, I'm from Narda. Usvirali Shuma Hadar Liolam. And we hold that what? I will say, Shuma is always reversible. Shabbos says a very dramatic statement. That means if somebody owed you money, couldn't pay you money, Beis Din evaluated and gave you a parcel of their land, they can come back forever with money and go ahead and redeem their property. V'hilchasa. Good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. Right in time for the best part. V'hilchasa. V'hilchasa. Here we go, Bosai. And what is the halacha? What is indeed the halacha? V'hilchasa. Shuma hadar li olam. Bosai, in reality, a shuma, a land valuation, is reversible forever. Shene emar v'asisa hayashar v'hatov. Because the pasuk says, you shall do that which is straight and good. Which I always say, so this again, we could spend 2 hours on this halacha, but I'm going to spend 30 seconds. So I will say, so this is actually an incredible halacha. So what is the Gemara? First of all, I'll say, this is a strange halacha, because what does this mean? Reuben owes me money, he defaults. So I'm given a piece of his land. So now for the rest of my life, I have to be choshesh that he's going to show up one day with a bag of money and get back his land. So the Rebbe said, the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins is the following. Shulchan Aruch says, this is in Choshen Mishpat, Semen Kuf Gimel. It's in two sifim, it's in Tes and Yud. But I just tell you the halacha. First of all, number one, the halacha is that, based in Shesham Ukarka Lebal Chof, Beinich Seilove, Bein Mishuvan, Sheva Luke, Ula Achar Zman Esmigo Yado Shalove, Shal Mitrof, Actually, we'll say, before we do the halacha, we're going to do a few more lines. There are more cases. Let me just get to Amud Beis and we'll do the halacha. So, Pshita, Shomolei Lebalchov, Va'azaliyu V'shomolei Lebalchov, Didei, Arminan Leilo Adif At Megabra Da'asas Mine. You're supposed to listen to this. So, let's say the following case. I lent Reuven money. Reuven can't go ahead and pay back. He doesn't have any money, so I seize his property. Meaning, again, remember, property seizures are never really done between people. Property seizures really require Beis Din's involvement. So Beis Din seizes his property from Reuven, gives it to me. I happen to have my own bachov. I owe money to Shimon. So what do? I take the land that I got from Reuven, and I give it to Shimon. Well, so then what happens? Reuven shows up with the $10,000 he owes me, a bag of cash, right? A suitcase of unmarked bills. He goes in and he gives me $10,000. I get it, right? And now what happens? So we'll say, here's the problem. The problem is, right, I don't have the land. Shimon has land. So what's the halacha? Reuven has the ability to go to Shimon and get back his land. Why? Because we'll say, my Baal Chov has no greater rights in that land than I had. And since my rights were limited to the ability for the debtor to come back and redeem it, so too the debtor has the ability to get it back from Shimon. Obviously, when Reuven goes back and takes the land back from Shimon, my creditor, so of course what's going to happen? Shimon's going to come back to me, but that's okay. Why? Why? I've got cash. Remember again, so I'll be able to satisfy the creditor because I'll be able to pay him the cash. So the Gemara says, what about Zabna, Orta, V'yava, Matana? So I'll say, what happens, however, let's say I got the same case. I lent Reuven money, $10,000. He can't pay back. I get a piece of land, $10,000. But now I sell the land. I sell the land to another party. Or Orta. But say, Orta means I pass away, my children inherit the land. Or I gift the land to someone else. So the aloch is Vadai, Hani Me'ikara Adaita de Aranachus, V'lav Adaita de Zuzi Nachus. So we'll say in all of these cases, let's just focus on the purchase for just a moment. When you sell land to someone, so we'll say in a sale, no sale says, well, I'm going to purchase the item, but should you choose to change your mind at any point in time and refund my money, that'll be fine also. Meaning when you purchase something, all sales are final. All sales are final. So we'll say, so the halacha is, in this case over here, watch this. So the halacha is, in this situation, I lent Reuven money, Reuven defaults, he can't pay back. Beis Din gives me a piece of his property, $10,000. I take that property, and now what? Sell it. I sell it to Shimon. Reuven knocks on my door a month later, says, I have $10,000 in cash. The halacha is, I say, I'm so sorry. I no longer have the land. The land is sold, and Reuven has no further recourse. Once the land is sold, then the transaction is final. Reuven has no ability to reclaim the land. Along those same lines, Shamulei Leisha Ve'in Siba, we'll say, if ultimately, again, if they valuated land, let's say a woman was owed, right? A woman lent money, and ultimately, again, the debtor defaulted, bless you, and they valuated property for her to collect her debt, the insaba, or she went ahead and she married. Oh, shamu mina di isha, or we'll say, for that matter, a woman borrowed money, defaulted on the debt. They identified a piece of property to satisfy the debt. They evaluated that piece of property. Vinceba, and she got married. Umesa, Umeisa, then she dies. So we'll say, what's the status of that property? Baal b'nichse ishto lokeach avi. Ultimately, again, a husband is considered to be a purchaser in his relationship to his wife's property, and therefore, lo mahadar, he doesn't have to return any properties, lo mahadrin ole, nor can we come after him for any properties either. Dom Rabbi Yossi Baruch Hanina, because Rabbi Chanan Baruch Hanina said, b'ushe eskinu, in one of the takanos in Usha that they made, was ha'isha shemachra b'nichse muluk b'chayi baila, that if a woman sells off muluk property during her husband's lifetime, so we'll say, so we know about muluk property, that's property ultimately, the title is held by the woman, but the peros usage is by the husband. Umesa, and she dies. Habal motzi biadal kuchos. So we'll say the husband has the ability to go ahead and extract any maluk property that she sold during her lifetime. Agbe ihu bechavo. We'll say, listen to this. Look at Rashi just a moment. Agbe ihu bechavo. Le'el mehader gabi shuma kilomar im lo shamu abezin lamalva al karcho shalova vekamle me'atzmo. We'll say, listen to this case. So up until now, we've always been dealing with land seizures. Oh, is that the right term? Land seizures? Right, land seizures that are done through Beis Din. They're done through Beis Din. Let's say you have the following case. I lend Reuven $10,000. Reuven defaults. He can't pay back. But Reuven says, you know what, we don't have to go to Beis Din. Here's a piece of property. Right, here's a piece of property. I don't know, you know, we've gone to Zillow and it's worth $10,000 and it's wonderful, good. Here it is, and I'm giving it to you. So, no basin. So what happens? So we'll say, so the Shaila is, in this case, does Reuven have the ability to come back to me and redeem his property for money? So the Gemara says, Pligi barav acha baravina. So Rav Acha and Ravina, they disagree. Say, so you have a machlokis. What's a machlokis? Chad Amar. Chad Amar Hadra. One opinion says, yes, the transaction is reversible. In other words, that Reuven has the ability to show up with the money, give me the money, get back his property. The Chad Amar Lo Hadra. And the second opinion says, no, the transaction is irreversible. How so? Man Da Amar. When I say irreversible, that means even if Reuven shows up with money the next day, Halacha Lemaisa, again, I don't have to give him back. Again, remember, I can give him back his property. I can always give it back if I want to, but I'm not obligated to do so. Man damar lo hadra. So it says, so the opinion who says that the transaction is not reversible, meaning Reuven can't demand his land back. Sabar hai zvini me'al yehi. The Rabbo says, when the debtor of his own volition offers up property to the creditor in satisfaction of the debt, that is the equivalent of what? Of a sale. That's the equivalent of a sale. And what did we just say before? Everyone agrees that's what? That when the property received is sold, that the debtor no longer has any recourse. So therefore, one opinion says that when the debtor of his own recourse offers the property to the creditor, that's the equivalent of a sale. All sales are final. And even though when the debtor shows up with $10,000, he can't get his land back. And I will say, why is it like a sale? Because he's doing this of his own volition. Right? He's doing it of his own das. But the opinion who says that, no, it is reversible. No. This is not the equivalent of a sale. Right? This is not the equivalent of a sale. Therefore, again, the debtor has the ability to go ahead and get back his land when he gives the money. So why didn't he go through Beis Din? He just wanted to avoid the embarrassment. Well, so there's a certain element of embarrassment. You know, there's everybody knows your business when you go to Beis Din. So therefore, in order just to keep things quiet, that's why he went ahead and decided to settle this between himself and the malva, between himself and the creditor. But Lamais, again, when he shows up with the money, he has every ability to go ahead and get back his land. So the Gemara says, "Ume'emas ochel peri." So also, now the Gemara has a different shaila. So look at Rashi, "Me'emas ochel peros mishes shamulu Beis Din karka bechovo me'emas iknuy lo ochel peros." So we'll say, in the case where Beis Din, again, this is where the debtor defaults, can't pay back the debt. Beis Din goes ahead and assesses the piece of land from the debtor to give back to the creditor. At what point in time is the creditor considered to be, we'll call it, the titular owner, that he is entitled now to eat peros? That he is entitled, we'll say, to get benefit, to literally to consume the produce, but to get benefit from the land. To which the Gemara says, Rabba Amar, Michi Machia Ad Karta Liyadei. As soon as, we'll say, the Ad Karta is the document of seizure. document of seizure. So as soon as he gets that document in his hand, so the maisa, actually, the truth is better stated, Rashi says, adkarta is, la'achar tishem yom shenifsak ha-din, da'amina parakama, de'bezin kosin, adkarta, shtar psak din, anichse lova, shebechol makum shimse mishalo yikachem, so well, yeah, we'll call it a seizure shtar. A document of seizure. It's where Bezin gives him the rishos to seize property. So Abaye says, no, edav b'chol saman zakino. So we'll say, see, according to Rava, so the creditor only gets the right of payros when that document literally reaches his hands. According to Abaye, the document need not reach his hands. Rather, as soon as what? As soon as the edim sign on that document, it's once it's signed and sealed, it's he has the rights to the property, ultimately the payros are his. Rava Amar, Michi Shalimu Yeme Achrasta. Rava says, no, he has to wait until the days of announcement are over. Both say, remember, even once you have a document of seizure, a seizure document, still there was a process where they tried to sell off the property. See, Rabbi Say, remember again, we want to, here's the issue. The issue is that even once the creditor gets property, that property can be, or depending on the case, is liquidated for the cash amounts to satisfy the debt. The concern is that if the creditor does not handle the property sale correctly, what could happen? He could undersell it. If he undersells it, then he could come back to the loeb and say, hey, you still owe me money. Therefore, Beis Din gets involved with the sale of the property as well. Make sure that the property is announced for a certain number of days to attract maximum attention and thereby ensure the highest amount for the sale. So according to Rava, he only gets the payros after the days of announcement have finally been completed. So three of my focus is what is in the Torah. So we'll say, so aloch lemaisa, what do we do with this whole Shuma thing? So first of all, Shulchan Aruch Paskins, in Siman Kuf Gimel Choshen Nishpat, bless you. The halacha is the following. That when land has ultimately been seized from the debtor to give to the creditor in satisfaction of the debt, the halacha is the Shulchan Aruch Paskins ula achras man is sigu yado shalova, and the lova ultimately comes into money. The halacha is mesalkin osa mekarka afilu shasa biada bal chovo kama shanim. We'll say the halacha as we paskin is Shuma Choser, then in fact again, if you, the creditor, are given land in satisfaction of the debt from the debtor, and the debtor shows up with a bag of money even years later, the halacha is he is entitled to take back his land. However, that is only assuming that lemaisa, the creditor still has that in his possession. If he sold it, or if he passed away and his children inherited it, or if he gifted it, at that point in time, the debtor no longer has the ability to go ahead and reclaim his property. But so obviously, not taking into account if the creditor improved the land or did anything in the interim, of course, the debtor would be liable for any of those expenses. Halach lemaisa also paskin is that all of this is assuming they went through Beis Din. If, however, the debtor of his own volition chose to give land to the creditor to satisfy the debt without Beis Din, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that is the equivalent of a sale, Zvini, and therefore again, the debtor has no recourse, cannot get back his land, even if he shows up with the bag of money. Mishnah. Hasochar par mechalero. Also, listen to this. Someone goes ahead and rents, this is a socher case, rents a cow from his friend, Vishil Lahakar. I will say it's an interesting case. So what happens? He rents the cow from his friend and then he lends it to someone else. Okay? So I rent a cow from Ruvain and I lend it to Shimon. Both remember again, these are two different relationships. There's Socher, which is a renter, and Shoel, which is a borrower. I am the Socher, I'm renting it from the owner, and I'm lending it to another party. So what happens? Umesa Kedarka, and the animal just died. Animal just died. So what's the halacha? Yishava ha-socher shemesa kedarko. So we'll say, so the socher has to swear to the owner of the animal that the animal died under normal circumstances. And we'll say, and I remember again, alt the socher. So remember again, the socher is potter if the animal dies under normal circumstances, because the socher is potter from onsin. It is potter from any extenuating circumstances. But who is not potter from onsin? A shoel. right? Is shoal is chai, bar is chai for everything. So watch this. So in this case, the animal just dropped dead. So the socher, I'm the guy who rented the animal from the original owner. So I swear to the original owner that the animal just dropped dead. No pshia, no negligence. I am potter. But watch this. Va shoel yishalim the socher. But the shoel, who is responsible even for onsin, is liable to who? To me, the socher, and has to pay me a cow. So what the Mishnah seems to be saying over here is, I, the person who rented it from the original owner, am going to be putter because I'm putter from onsin. But I, the renter, who then lent it to someone else, that shoal be chayiv to me because the shoal be chayiv in onsin. So we'll say, see how this works out? The way this works out is I, the renter, end up not owing the owner of the animal anything. Not only did I not own anything, but what? I walk away with the cow. I'm Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says that makes no sense. Keitzar hala oses chora becharasa shechaveiro. How could it be that I, the renter, end up doing business with my friend's cow? In other words, I end up enriching myself through my friend, right? The owner of the animal walks there with nothing. I, the renter, end up walking with another cow. Ella, taxer, part of the Bible. Another will say in a case like this, the shoal, ultimately the borrower, should end up returning the animal to the original owner. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Yidibar Avin Labaye, Michti, let's analyze this. Socher b'may kani lahay parav. So we'll say, let's analyze this. How does the socher acquire the animal? In other words, we say that a socher is potter. So how is it that the socher actively acquires the animal? Bishvua. We'll say, ultimately, again, through an oath. In other words, the socher takes an oath, Rashi says, shunish v'lamaskir. So the socher, the renter, I have to take an oath to the owner of the animal, saying that what? That I was not negligent, I didn't do anything wrong. So when I take the shvua, I acquire the animal. V'neimalei maskir l'socher, but let the owner say to the renter, dal ant vidal shvua sach. Why don't you get out of here and take your shvua with you? Because my issue is not with you anymore. My issue is with the shoel. My issue is with the borrower. In other words, you lent this animal to someone else. So really, again, it's very nice you want to take your shvua to me. You get out of here. You get your shvua out of here. I'll take up my issue with the shoel. Amarlei, misabri socher b'shvua d'kanilei. Do you think that the socher only acquires the animal through a shvua? Mishas misahu dekani. In reality, I will say the socher acquires his rights, so to speak, the moment the animal dies. Now, as I will say, the moment the animal dies, essentially, again, the socher is no longer liable, and the owner of the animal no longer has an animal. O shvua kedei lahafiz daito shabal habayis. I will say the only reason that the socher has to take a shvua is why? Is because lemaisa, in order to go ahead and put the balabais's mind at ease, in order to go ahead and allow the balabas to feel that nobody's trying to pull the wool over his eyes. So Rabbi Zira says, Panim Shabbat Mishan Kaparas the socher. We'll start this case now, but we'll have to continue it tomorrow. Rabbi Zira says that there are times when an owner of an animal has to pay a couple of paros to a renter. I must say now, we're not reading that wrong. We're reading that correctly. There are times where an owner will end up having to pay a couple of cows to the renter. How so? Hechi dami, what's the case? Agra mine meayomi v'hadar shayli mine tishliyomin. Well, so you know, actually, we'll stop over here for today. But I'll give you coming, I might even record this a little bit later. I'll give you coming attractions with this. What we're going to go ahead and see in this particular case is that Lamaisa, we're going to see a case of essentially a rent back or a borrow back. So the Gemara is going to talk about, I'll read you the case, fine. So this one, I'll read you the case, and then we'll just stop. What's the case? I rent an animal for 100 days from the owner. The owner then borrows it back from me for 90 days. I then rent it back from him for 80 days of those 90 days, v'hadar shayli minei shivin yomin, and then he borrows it back from me for 70 days of those 80 days, umesa besoch yemei shaylasa, and the animal dies within those 70 days. Good. So we'll stop over for today. And in the next session, again, we're going to see, again, it's an exceptionally convoluted case. We're going to see, fascinatingly enough, that you could come up with a case where an owner of an animal would actually be liable to pay the person renting him. All right, so stop here. We'll pick up with it tomorrow. Also, just a reminder that tomorrow and Wednesday are Rosh Chodesh. So we begin the daf at 5:45. The why is never important. Never important. Right? The Lamaisa, he did it. He did it.